Yes, he does.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good happy Saturday morning. Amen. This is Prophetess Valerie Burrell with the Empowerment Place. Grateful to God for being with you on this Saturday morning. Amen. We are excited and grateful to God for our guest this morning, Minister Ebony Lewis. We were scheduled to do this broadcast on Wednesday. That didn't happen. But we trust that God knows best. Amen. And Ebony, we thank you again for being with us this morning. Amen. And we're so anxious to hear what it is that the Lord has to release through you today. So I'm not going to prolong. I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can just flow as the Lord leads. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Val, it's a pleasure to be here this morning and to be able to just share with the people of God a little bit of what he's placed inside of me about relationships and love. It is awesome that I am covering these subjects because I need to learn about them.
Amen.
I'm telling you honestly from an honest place, that is where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from anywhere that is an expert about love and relationships, but I think you learn more when you have to teach something. So I thank God for the opportunity to teach me and to share with you guys.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Here we go.
Amen.
When you gave me the subject, relationships, the first thing that pops in my mind is love. And I think that's the first thing that pops in a lot of people's mind. Sometimes it's a dreaded word. Sometimes it's a hard word. It's a tough word. Love. It's a confusing word. A lot of people have questions about love. And some people, it's a simple word. We a lot of us think we know what love is. And so the topic that I had today is what is love? And the Bible tells us that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners or still sinners, he died for us. And we have now been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And it tells us that in Romans 5. And so the Bible describes love as something like a sacrifice. And not even something like a sacrifice, but the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that gives us eternal life. And a lot of us have not identified love as sacrificial yet. A lot of us, younger generation, a lot of us that have experienced cycles of failing relationships have misidentified love. And I think that's a growing epidemic. We cannot become, we cannot say that we're ready for, we cannot recognize anything that we have misidentified. And so until you learn what it is, what love is, then you will continue to misuse, mistreat, not recognize, misact upon what it is you say you want and what it is you say you want to give. Because relationally, we can't give anything that we don't have. We can't give anything we're not. And so, and a lot of times in relationships, we say we're ready to give something when really, you know, we say we're ready for relationships, we're ready for love. We're really ready just to receive a lot of times. It's an immature mindset that we have when it comes to love and relationship and relational love. But the Bible describes God as sacrificial, God's love as very sacrificial. And it can seem like a lot on us because, you know, we're selfish. And it's not always a bad, selfish, oh, you selfish. No. Out of human nature is selfish. We are a self-preserving people. And sometimes we preserve our emotional state. Sometimes we preserve, you know, the little bit of confidence we have by serving self. We don't want to let anybody else in. We don't want to risk anything to receive love. We don't want to give anything sacrificial that might take away from us because we are afraid, period, of whatever it might be. Everybody's situation is different. But fear and pride are like love's worst enemy. And you can't truly know, truly receive, truly give love unless you can really identify, recognize, and relate to it. And it all seems like a daunting task, but the hopeful truth is this. We are humans and we are fallible. The Bible says that God is love, not that man is love. We are just required to learn, mimic, and grow in love as God's love is given to us. So God freely gave his love. We didn't do anything to earn his love. We couldn't follow enough of the law to be made righteous through God. But God gave us a free gift, and it was because he loved us. It was because of we are the object of his love. And that was freely given to us. So freely giving is the characteristics of how we should be, freely giving people. And so Paul says it best in the lecture to the saints at Galatia after hearing of their refusal to live in freedom by the truth of who Christ was and all that he had done for them. Instead, they reverted to the counterfeit gods and the customary rhetoric under the law. And we find ourselves in that same rhetoric today, just in our acts of settling and in our impatience. We pass by homeless people on the street corner all the time, and we don't. I can't even sum it all up to say we live in such a hustle and bustle lifestyle that we don't realize how selfish we've become, how hard we've become, how numb we've become, how blind we've become. The basis of a relationship is love. Not just from your boyfriend to your girlfriend or your husband to your wife, but from coworker to coworker, from neighbor to neighbor. That is the proving ground for love. If you use it correctly, it helps us in our relationships, should we decide that it's time for us to become married or to date. But you've never even met your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You've never said, hello, how you doing? Can I help you bring your groceries upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
You've never even given, you know, to that man on the corner that you pass every day. And not that you need some money or have to have some grand gesture, but our hands are so tightly balled up in a fist as we go through life that we fail to become and we fail to see all that Christ has done for us. And because we are so numb, we can't receive his gifts anymore. We can't receive God's gift anymore. And we cannot give it anymore. So we have to have a revelation of love, an encounter with love, a reminder of what love is, so that we can get back on the right track so that, you know, our relationship goals, so to speak, could actually come to pass and be fulfilling and not just be one of those cycles. And so we
can
have
I pose
to be
a
positioned.
Question?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you're saying some awesome things, and in our situations with love, you talk about our selfishness, and I wonder often because we're actually getting ready to do a relationship seminar, and my husband and I have been talking about the relationships, and what we're finding is that when people are not willing to accept the truth of who they are in God, then they're never, ever, ever, ever really ready to accept the truth about a relationship with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this younger generation that we're dealing with right now, I mean, I'm talking my daughters and friends, everybody wants to live this life like we grow so we can do it this way. Knowing the way that you're doing it is not God's way. And then they want to get upset when things don't go right. But, we say to them, you're trying to take God's concept and conform it to the world's idea. Do you really expect that God is going to bless your mess? But this is what they see love being. Love is whatever I want to make it, however I want to make it, and as long as no one else is being bothered, then I'm good. But where did that, you're young, you've lived, where did all of that come from? Where did that mindset come from? Because, you know, back in the day, we wouldn't have done some of that stuff. I mean, and if we did it, we did it in the cut. Now, it's just, boom, that's what it is.
Okay.
That's what we do. Where did you get that from?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Do you have a clue? I mean,
I think, too, it comes from, help, Lord. help, Lord. Because God is a God of order. And I'm not saying nothing prospers outside of order. I cannot say that. But order has, it's for a reason. And so if the baby came before the love and the baby came before the marriage and the baby came before everything, then the outcome is never what God intended. Because God's intention for love is that you love her, then you marry her. Then you make a family.
Right.
And so, you know, like I said, I think our generation, my generation, has truly misidentified. We've mishandled. We've mismanaged. We've missed everything. We've missed the encounters. We've missed the revelation of love. We've missed it. And I think it's because we live in that microwave mentality that everything I want to have it now. And if I can't, if I wait and it doesn't come fast enough, I'll make it on my own. I'll conjure it up. Yes.
Yeah.
And so.
Because I had somebody say to me yesterday, we were just talking about intercourse. And they were like, I'm not going to wait till I get married and try it. I need to make sure all of that stuff is working before I say I do. I was like, where'd you get that from?
Look.
And they were like, I'm just saying. And I'm like, well, okay, God, where did that seed come from except from what the world has put before
us
as a society? You know, it's on TV, on internet, you know, you don't have to do it God's way. You just do what you want to do, and that's it. And you don't explain yourself. And I've got God help me because I still got some issues. I'm still growing. I mean, Niecy, I'm still growing. God got to help me because. You know your auntie's face sometimes when she get in certain places with certain folks.
I know it.
She just got a look on her face like, "What did you what?"
I don't know. What did you just say?
I know it because sometimes you know we're placed in these situations and we're looking at what people are saying. This is love. This is relationship. This is truth. But then when they
it's
come
dangerous.
In your presence, come on, when they come in your presence, when they come in the presence of God's anointing and God's anointed head bowed down, they stay to the back, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I don't want to get, well, if you feel like what you do is okay and what you do is right and what you do is justifiable, why then are you holding your head down?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you holding your head down?
We have serious, serious, our young ladies, our gentlemen, they have serious identification issues. It's evident in the sexuality crisis. It is evident that we have to go back to the basis of not just what love is, but who we are, who we were created to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have serious identity issues, sexually, racially,
mm-hmm.
period, when it comes to our confidence, when it comes to everything. I mean, this world is so jacked up. And the sad part about it is the church is being more influenced than we are being the influencers. So...
Cool.
My prayer every morning before I walk out the door is, Lord, send your angels to push back darkness on the behalf of your kingdom,
mm-hmm.
because we are being.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be careful when I say this, but we are being infiltrated. I know the Bible says that
mm-hmm.
That the darkness does not overcome the light, but does that say something about us? Being the light, because we are being infiltrated, and it's like we have stopped being the ones who influence the world, and we have become the ones who are influenced by the world. And I think it's an armor issue. I was telling a friend of mine the other day that I wanted to start a new business venture, and I was going to name it Armor, and it was going to be undergarments. But because we put on our outside clothes like they are our armor, or we put on our outside words like it is our armor, but what is underneath? There's a breach in the armor, and worldly stuff is sinking in, and we have, you know, it's like we don't see it. We call it being human. And I'm not saying we need to walk around like robots and quoting the word for everything, but
mm-hmm.
we walk around with sexual identity problems, and we're calling ourselves a child of God, and we're telling the world that it's okay.
Yes.
We're not giving them, I'm striving for this. I am this right now, but I'm striving for this. Or even the complete opposite. I'm walking around, I've come out of my negative situations and my sinful situations, but then sometimes we go back out and we find ourselves in those same things again. We deal with cycles, and it's because we're not fully armed. We're not fully protected. We don't go out into the world like it's a war zone. But the truth of the matter is there's a battle going on out there, and it's for your soul. And if you have not come to the realize the fact that the devil is gunning for your head every day. Every time you walk out the door, he's sending something to you to help you slip back into the things that you have been delivered from. I thank God that there is no failure in God, and he allows us everything, all the chances that we need, all the grace and all the mercy that we need to get back up again. But don't you get tired of going through that same crap.
Come on.
At some point, you got to see the enemy coming.
At some point. And I think, too, that when you mentioned that, it's as though this young generation feel like they're invincible. That,
right.
Oh, I keep talking about the enemy and the enemy being after me, but I'm good.
I'm good, yeah.
What?
Right.
What does that mean? What does that mean, you good?
No. It's a lie.
What does that mean?
Is what it is.
Yeah, I'm good.
But they believe
that.
It.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And, you know, it's true because I felt the same way. I'm all right. Like, my goodness, we all stop being so paranoid about the devil. That used to be my mentality. Like, will y'all calm down until I get punched in the face?
Right.
And then I'm like looking around, like, what just happened? Mm-mm. We cannot be passive about war. You can't be passive about war. You have to put on the whole armor of God, and you got to know that it's necessary. But I thank God because He makes ugly things beautiful, and He causes all things to work for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So
Amen.
Faithful. And He's faithful until we get it right.
Amen.
Because that's the way He gets glory.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question is, when are you going to get tired of your mess?
When?
And try it God's way and do it God's way. And I'm there right now. That's the season I'm in. I was tired of my mess in 2015 and 2017. I mean, 2016. You know, I had to reap what I sowed in 2015. So 2016 was really tough for me because I had to reap what I sowed. He ain't no counterfeit God. He's the God of the seed time and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to pick up everything that you put down. But His
you better
grace,
understand
His mercy,
that.
His love, they gave me strength to recognize it for what it was. And when you recognize it, oh, this is just the fruit of that mess that I sowed last season, I see it.
Yeah.
I don't got to respond to it. And I'm moving on. We got to
mm-hmm.
grow up and mature into these mindsets, though they just don't happen overnight. When I was a child, I acted like a child.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got tired and I wanted something different for my life, when I wanted love and when I desired not just to receive love, to give somebody else something, when you realize you got something in you, a powerful thing called love, oh, you get ready to give that to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Give it to yourself first.
Yeah. Position
first.
Yourself to receive it.
Yes.
And that that was my next little spill was positioning yourself for the poor. The enemy to love, like I said, is fear and pride. And sometimes it's a matter of positioning. We have become so haughty, like you said, we think we got it going on, that we don't realize that we haven't even allowed God's love to manifest in us yet, to teach us who we are, to teach us how we are, how we ought to be, who He is, because our mindsets are so prideful or we are so afraid for whatever reason, because of trauma, because of what happened to us when we were children, because of you know, just whatever ordeal we might have faced or been through, we have gotten out of position. The poor is always down.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get under it. We have to submit to this word. You need to eat it every day. You need to find yourself a good Bible-teaching church, a church that believes in shepherding and sonship. That's how people get healed from damage. You got to have a compassionate ministry, a ministry that cares about people genuinely. And those are the hardest places to find because a lot of people want the call of God, but they don't care about the people of God. They just want to prophesy and preach and teach and spit and yell. But do you care about souls? Because the souls are the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And so we got to be positioned for God to pour, for Him to pour love inside of us. We got to be positioned for people to pour love inside of us. And we don't think God sends things through people anymore. We get so high-minded that it's coming straight from the throne room of God, and it's going to be imparted into me, and I'm going to just sit in my house and in my, I don't know how to go to church.
I got ears to hear with the spirit of speaking. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, you got to be courageous enough to allow people to pour love in you, to pour what identity is in you, so you can have something relationally to give. Because if it's just been you and God all your life, you ain't going to know how to treat folks.
Yeah.
That's unrealistic.
Those individuals, to me, really become jaded, you know, because I know some people who have stepped back from the church, quote unquote, and spent time just them and God, because they hear from God, and God told them to come out the church. What? It's a word, say, forsake not the assembly. Where you get it from? And so, then, you know, their revelation becomes so, I'm not even going to go there. We talk about something else.
Right.
That'll get me off on the
tangent. I was going to say, we can go, but not today.
But it's true.
Important. Fear will lead you to isolated places. And you miss it. And that's one thing I don't want to miss out in this season. I don't want to miss. I'm a relational person. I love relationships. I want to teach my children how to cultivate relationships because we are the conduit to the glory of God being revealed in this earth.
Amen.
And it's coming through the kingdom.
Amen.
And so we have to position ourselves
to
be poured into so we can pour out. We got to learn to identify not just with love, but identify the love in us, identify who God is. We got to be able to identify these things. We got to be able to have identity. Because if God is love and Christ is love and we got to be like him, then we should be love. We should be a shining reflection of what God's love is. It's all about kingdom. It's about relationships.
It is.
And without love, we're doing it wrong. The Bible says, if I speak in tongues of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Never ends. And as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will fully know, even as I have been fully known. Now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Woo. Thank you. Wow. Well, wow. Okay. We thank you. Amen. That was good. We thank those of you who called in on this morning. Amen. To hear this phenomenal teaching from Minister Anthony. We ask that you join us again on Wednesday, amen, at 8 o'clock p.m., 7 o'clock p.m.
Amen.
Well, we're going to do this all over again. As always, we pray that you've been empowered, and since you've been empowered, you'll take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all, and have a wonderful weekend. Thank you, Ebony.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.